Good morning and welcome to Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson. Today we start our discussion over the Supreme Court ruling on the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act with Republican U.S. Senator Mike Lee of Utah. The freshman lawmaker has repeatedly objected to the law's constitutionality since being elected in 2010. I spoke with him Thursday to get his reaction. Well, Senator, what is your immediate reaction to the outcome of the ruling and the rationale that went into Justice Roberts' opinion?
Well, it certainly appears to be a victory for the individual mandate, but it's a victory that I think will prove to be both hollow and short-lived. In order to uphold this as a valid exercise of Congress's power, the court, after concluding that Congress couldn't do this under the Commerce Clause, converted this into a valid exercise of Congress's taxing power. Mm-hmm. Even though Congress and the President said that it was anything but a tax when it was enacted.
And so, although the President did not make the case politically that it was a tax, do you think that the ruling from a legal standpoint that it can go forward as a tax is a sound ruling? Do you agree with that rationale?
I don't agree with the ruling. You know, it is the judgment of the court, and the judgment of the court will stand, but I think there will be political ramifications from that ruling that will not favor the Affordable Care Act's integrity or its ability to function. I think Americans would not have supported passage of the Affordable Care Act in the first place had they known that this was going to be deemed an exercise of the taxing power. And I think that now that this has been revealed, the American people are not going to be inclined to ask their members of Congress to continue to support it. I'm anticipating that this will have a significant impact on this November's elections, and it could result in a few seats in Congress, in both houses of Congress, changing from one party to the other.
So you feel the court upholding the mandate will actually be bad for the Democrats? Because it seems like if they had struck it down, it would have been far worse for the Democrats. What's your thinking there?
Yeah, I think this will prove to be harmful to the Democrats who have supported this bill, who promised the American people they weren't raising taxes, and now it's come out that they are. Now that the Supreme Court has deemed this a tax increase, they're going to have to back that up. That's not going to be popular. I mean, look, the individual mandate, even before this ruling came out, was opposed by about 74% of Americans, according to one recent poll. Its popularity is not exactly going to be enhanced now that Americans realize that it's actually a tax.
Senator, a big question that we might still have to answer later is this issue of whether the states will have to expand their Medicaid coverage. That's been one of the biggest complaints here in Utah and with the legislature, is that we can't afford to expand our Medicaid coverage by hundreds of millions of dollars. What's your interpretation of what the court did? Will Utah have to do that? What do you think the state should do from here with this ruling now issued?
Based on what the Supreme Court said today, the state of Utah will not have to expand its Medicaid program in order to accommodate the Medicaid expansion provisions of the Affordable Care Act. The Supreme Court today ruled that this would amount to unconstitutional coercion of the state administrative machinery in order to implement a federal legislative program, and that can't be done. That's not constitutional, and that's not going to happen.
Senator, the House is going to vote again shortly to repeal the Affordable Care Act, but in order for it to fully be repealed, it seems as though Republicans have to control both houses, and not just control the Senate, but probably have 60 votes in the Senate and have the White House as well. It seems like a lot of factors would have to go in favor of the Republicans in order for this law to be fully repealed. Do you think that's going to happen within the next year or even the next couple of years?
Probably not this year, because even though I expect it to pass in the House of Representatives, the Senate, as you point out, is still controlled by Democrats. Even if we got a few Democrats to switch sides on this issue and vote with Republicans to repeal it, it would still have to get past the President's veto pen. And we don't have, certainly under any circumstances, a two-thirds supermajority vote in both houses of Congress to override a veto.
And finally, Senator, do you believe that Republicans will be able to convince the American public this November that they have a solution to health care in America, that if the law is repealed, that Republicans have a way that will indeed ensure one day that all Americans receive medical care?
Yes, and I think Republicans are going to win overwhelmingly based on the argument that it ought to be Americans themselves, in consultation with their families and their doctors, who make these very personal decisions regarding health care. These decisions ought to be made by Americans with their doctors, not by government bureaucrats in Washington.
Senator Lee, we appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That's freshman Republican Senator Mike Lee of Utah discussing yesterday's court ruling on the 2010 federal health care reform law. This is Politics Up Close. Well, we've heard much about the politics of yesterday's Supreme Court decision, upholding most of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act as constitutional. But what will it mean when it comes to policy here in Utah, and how will the decision be handled by the state legislature? Joining me now on the phone is Democratic State Senator Gene Davis, who sits on the legislature's Health System Reform Task Force. And, Senator, it's good to talk to you.
Good morning. Thank you.
Senator, what's your reaction to the Affordable Care Act being upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court?
I think it gives the state of Utah a great challenge to be able to move forward in health care and the health care reform movement for our citizens here in the state of Utah. And I think if we move forward the way we have been over the last few years, that we will be able to create a Utah model, which we did in the small market exchange, and be able to do that in the individual exchange and really provide more benefit for the citizens of the state of Utah.
So, Senator, does that mean that you believe that overall the federal health care reform law is going to be a bad thing for the state, or a good thing, or somewhere in between?
I think as long as we as a state get to put together the exchange, which is being encouraged by the federal act, that we will be able to do a better job locally than we will by turning it over and allowing the feds to do the whole thing. Do we need them as a partner? I believe so, yes.
So how do you think your colleagues there in the legislature are going to go forward from here, both on the Democratic side of the aisle and on the Republican side? Do you think there's going to be some move to try and avoid implementing parts of the law here in Utah, or do you think everyone's going to be on board and trying to, you know, obey the law and work within the framework of the law?
Well, it's my hope that we will be, you know, we're a law-abiding state, and our citizenry is law-abiding. I think the one thing that we want to do is make sure that when we put together parts of the act and it's left to the states, the fact that we get to do it our way, and that's being encouraged on the federal level.
We're speaking with Democratic State Senator Gene Davis. He sits on the legislature's Health System Reform Task Force. Senator, give me a little bit of background when it comes to how you've been involved in health reform here in Utah. You sit on the task force. What have you been able to accomplish there in the legislature, and what are your goals? What goals have you set when it comes to what we need to do here in Utah to fix health care?
My involvement began back in... Now, the second year I was elected, when I served on a task force that created the state's uninsurable risk pool, and I carried that bill through to fruition, made it state law. We created that, and it served people who could not get insurance otherwise very well. To be able to expand that, I served on Health and Human Service Appropriations, which dealt with the Medicaid budget and expansions of the Medicaid budget to include more people. We get a very, very good buy on our Medicaid dollars in the state of Utah. For every 30 cents we pick up that we put up, we get roughly 70 cents back from the Fed. So it's a good buy down, Medicaid is. And moving forward, I really believe that the exchange, how we can get health care for all Utahns, is a challenge, but I believe it's a doable challenge. And it's something that really eats up so much of our gross domestic product in the United States. Our GDP is a percentage that eats up here in the state of Utah also. And we just need to do something to make sure that people have the ability to get the coverage that they need.
Tell us a little bit more about this exchange, Senator Davis. What does this insurance exchange mean for Utahns right now, and what are the limitations of the exchange? I'm sure it's not, you know, right now considered a cure-all for Utah's problems. What are some of the limitations of the exchange right now that you would like to see perhaps the state overcome in the next couple of years?
I think the one thing is that it still leaves our small market exchange, still leaves vulnerability of the employee. It guarantees a set amount that an employer is going to have to pay into the exchange to get the benefits. The positive part is the employee gets to choose what kind of health care coverage and benefit they want. And any increases in cost going into the future comes out of the worker's pocket, and which at some point becomes a bending point of whether you get groceries or whether you have health care, which is the same predicament that we're in today. The individual market exchange allows one to go into the exchange and be able to purchase the health insurance that they need for themselves or for their families as well.
Mm-hmm. One question.
And that gets us to a goal, and then an awful lot of that then becomes cost containments, mm-hmm. and how we get there and how we regulate it. And that's really it in a nutshell, I think.
Uh-huh. On that issue of cost containment, Senator Davis, I know that Democratic Utah Congressman Jim Matheson voted against the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, mainly because he says there weren't enough cost containment measures in the bill and that it would not stop rising health care costs. Do you share that concern as well, that the legislation is not going to rein in health care costs as much as we need?
I think one thing we need to, if you look at what IHC, for an example, is doing, and that's been recognized nationally, where they're looking at the patient and giving the patient or their customer and their insurance side the coverage that they need, the benefits they need, and using their physician networks and really their brain trust to get together to do better care for the patient, and it is saving money.
One question that this ruling has raised, Senator, is whether states like Utah have to comply with the law's requirement to expand their Medicaid coverage, which in Utah, I understand, would be hundreds of millions of dollars. What do you think will go forward here in Utah? Do you think Utah will comply with that expanded Medicaid coverage, even if it means perhaps hundreds of millions of dollars in additional state spending? Do you think perhaps it's better for the state not to comply, or what are your thoughts?
I think the one thing that, as we look at the state and Medicaid, the ruling, my understanding of the ruling is that's the unenforceable part that came out. So a state does not have to take the Medicaid expansion. However, that being said, if we take a look at the healthier population that you get into the Medicaid mix, and it really is how we designed the program for that expansion. And once again, get the support that we need from the feds, the okay from the feds to be able to run a program that would be cost effective. Remember, the one thing that we have in the state of Utah that other states don't is, mm-hmm. is the match rate from the Medicaid that is pretty healthy. As I mentioned earlier, it's for every 30 cents we put up, we get 70 cents back from the Fed.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good match rate. And it is costly, but healthcare, is costly, and we've been working on cost containment in that area as well.
And
I think we'll continue to do that.
And Senator, having served on the legislature's Health System Reform Task Force, do you think that this is a fairly bipartisan effort we've seen here in Utah among both Republicans and Democrats to reform health care in this state? Have we seen perhaps more bipartisan cooperation in health care reform than we see in other aspects of the legislature?
I think there's been really a very fair but conservative take on what's going on and how things are put together in the task force. I think I've agreed with most all of the bills that have come out of the task force and the proposals that have been made. I think at the end of the day, you have to take a look and say, does it serve the people? positive thing about the put together of the task force and the input that the task force has received is the fact that the industry itself has been at the table and able to really put together what their desires and their needs are.
We've been speaking with Democratic States Senator Gene Davis, who sits on the legislature's Health System Reform Task Force here on Politics Up Close. Senator, we appreciate your time and your insight very much, and we look forward to speaking with you again as, the implications of this law become more clear.
Thank you.